Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Small Business Stand Up, where we discuss all the secrets of seasoned entrepreneurs in different fields of business. Learn from them and be ready to grow and thrive. Stay tuned and enjoy. MCA Online Notary Service will help you when you need to notarize a document for someone located out of state, overseas, or someone homebound or hospitalized who cannot drive, or for those who can't leave work during business hours. As long as you have a webcam, internet, MCA Notaries can help you get their documents notarized. It's very efficient and affordable. Please give us a call at 214-888-6782. That's 214-888-6782, or contact us at mcanotaries@gmail.com. That's mcanotaries@gmail.com. The views, information, or opinions expressed by the host, co-host, and or guests on this podcast do not necessarily represent or reflect the views of our company, our sponsors, and advertisers. Please consult your attorneys, CPA, or business owners, advisors, before making any business decision. Thank you. Hello, everyone. This is Coach Jay from Small Business Stand Up, and I got two great entrepreneurs here. What's up, Ms. Kay and Mr. Jason?
Hey, Coach Jay. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
You know, as usual, man, I got a couple of great questions, man. I thought, you know, a couple of podcasts ago, I was letting you guys know that, you know, a lot of times I'm in my head, right? So, mm-hmm. This has become therapeutic for me, right? So, yeah. I could get this stuff out of my head and at the same time get you guys feedback and how you guys are seeing things too. So, this is helping me a lot. So, and I know it's helping a lot of people out there as well.
Yeah, diagnose you, man. Just make sure you swallow the pill.
Is it the red pill or the blue pill?
I don't care which one you take. To me, they all good.
They all good. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And you know, as you guys know, like we talked about a few months ago before we came on, that we have some great feedback from people. I've been pushing it out there to people, man, and I think we're getting the momentum rolling. So to everybody, all the new people who've listened to us for the first time, welcome. The people who've been with us for the whole month or so that we've been doing it, welcome back, right? So tell your friends to tell a friend. That's my motto, right? So, yeah. All right. So let's jump right into the thing, man. So, you know, the first topic is how important is marketing in business, guys?
So important. Yeah. No clients, no business. People have to know about you in order for you to, you know, to serve them, to serve your community. So I would say marketing is ultra important for your business.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about marketing. There's four pieces to business or five pieces to business that you need to know. I'm not going to give them all, but I'm going to give the first two. Okay. The first one is locate prospects. And the second one is pre-screen those prospects. But number one, it falls under marketing because you've got to locate who your client is. If you have no one to offer your service or your products to, you have no business. All the rest of the things that I would talk about later doesn't even matter. So you've got to have someone that you can actually market to in order to be able to get your market share. So it is the most important part of the business before you even start business. If you have no one that you're going to offer your services to, you have no one that you're going to introduce your product to help solve their problems, you have no business.
So true. Well, marketing is the lifeline of your business, guy, right? Well, there's no business without the marketing. They go hand in hand, right? You can have the best ideal in the world and the best skills to bring this ideal to fruition. But if nobody knows about you, do you really have something, right? Do you really have a business? You have to get out there. You have to market. And it's a lot of different ways to do marketing. Like, I know a lot of people think that you have to, you know, all the time have these big billboards or maybe even have these big old television commercials or whatever the case is. But there's a lot of other ways to do guerrilla marketing, is what I call it. Marketing is definitely the bloodline to your business. You have to be able to market. You have to be able to get out there. People have to know that you actually exist, right? So I thought about this the other day. You know, like if you open your door, right, you just move into a place or apartment or whatever the case is, behind your door is we call it a gidget, right? It's the thing to stop your door from hitting the wall, right? Mm-hmm. If people didn't know about these exist, you know, would it really be a business? Because it's kind of dusted off. People don't even know that a lot of them exist until they don't have one, until your door actually hits the wall, right? But because of these marketing things that they do, you know that they actually exist. So you go to Walmart looking for one, right? So it's important to know these different things.
Yeah, Coach Jay, I wanted to ask your opinion. Can you explain guerrilla marketing, you know, to our listeners who may not be familiar with that term? And do you still, because I know that guerrilla marketing is like an older marketing strategy, and do you still feel that it's relevant today?
Okay, what I mean by guerrilla marketing is everything that you can do without spending a dime. That's what I call guerrilla marketing, right? I'm the type of person who go above and beyond to market without spending a quarter out of my pocket, right? If I got to use social media, I would do that. If I got to put a billboard on myself to walk up and down the street and tell people what I'm doing, that's what I do. If I have to, you know, get some business cards and go hit Walmart every other hour to put business cards on their windshield, I do that. Or I will do that. So that's my definition of guerrilla marketing. I know some other people may say something a little different, but that's my definition of it. But that's a great question.
Yeah, that's cool. Sounds like that's like real hustling, like really out there, hitting the pavement, you know, talking or networking, you know, communicating to others what your business is and how it can help. That's awesome. I actually like your definition, because when I think of guerrilla marketing, I think of like billboards or like ads in the newspaper, you know. I never really thought of it the other way. So thank you for helping me to, you know, to expand my horizons when it comes to guerrilla marketing.
See, it's what most people don't want to do. Like, if you're a business owner, everybody has an ideal. They know they can market their business a different way, but because of maybe time or because of their nervousness, they don't like to, you know, be around people. They're not willing to go and be above and beyond in those situations. Let's say, as a prime example, I got some family member that's here from out of town, right? They're going to Six Flags. I have no problem with putting a billboard and walking around Six Flags if my goal is to market my business, right? And put a billboard on me, post something in front of me, something back of me, and walk all around that place. It costs me nothing. It costs me a little money to get into it, but I'm around the max amount of people, and people are going to see it. And if it's big enough and it's bold enough, people take pictures and stuff like that. And you never know, that may land into the hands of a person who's willing to buy my service or go downtown or whatever the case is. So if you think outside the box, you can be very creative in your marketing in order to get clients coming in.
Let me ask this question to you, Jay, which is going to lead to what we're talking about. Do you remember how we met?
Yes, I definitely remember how we met. I was doing it then.
Yeah.
We met at the coffee shop in downtown Dallas, I think it was. And what I did, I posted, I was doing a tour is what I called it, right? So a lot of, in Dallas, there's a lot of coffee shops here, a lot of Starbucks. So I mapped out about five or six of them every single week that I would say, okay, between this time and this time, I'm going to be at this Starbucks. Between this time and this time, I'm going to be at this Starbucks. Come on out here, let's talk about real estate. And I met a lot of people that way. And it didn't cost me any money, just a little bit of time. Right? And the good thing about it, when I met Jason gave me so much game, I was just sitting there quiet, letting him talk. And he gave me a lot of game. I still use it to this day, man. So, and I appreciate you, brother.
Yeah. But see, you only remember when we actually got a chance to sit down and talk. Because the first time that we actually met and I knew who Jay Wicker was is that you actually had one of the corrugated plastic signs out at the courthouse at the auction and was looking for cash buyers.
Wow. We didn't meet then, did we?
No, we didn't meet then. I was there, but I said I had to meet this guy. That's when we kind of crossed paths and we talked, but I got your card. That's how I followed you on Facebook. And then that's when I saw that you were going to you were going to the Starbucks, and I made it a point to come and sit down with you.
I did not know that, man. I did not know that. I was guerrilla marketing there. Because about it, I'm around all these cash buyers, people who are looking to buy properties at an auction. And I'm going live, I'm talking loud, I'm just doing me. Right? I don't have a lot of money to do a whole lot of marketing, but I got the people I need to talk to, I'm getting into their ring. I'm getting right where they're at, and they're gonna have to notice me.
Yeah, and I'll look, get the auction.
Years, that is something, man. I did not even know that. That is something. And see, it didn't cost me a dime to do that. It didn't cost me a dime to do that. So I guess the question would be, what are you willing to do to step outside your comfort zone to market your business without spending a dime?
Whatever it takes.
That's good to market. Whatever it takes. Man, you brought me back. That was years ago, man.
Yeah.
That was years ago.
Yeah, that was back 2015, 2016.
Yeah. It's been that long, man. Yeah. Man, that's pretty deep. So all you people out here in real estate or any business that you're in, man, are you willing to go that far? If you're not, you're really playing, especially if you don't have a budget. You have to make the biggest splash doing something, not nothing crazy to put you in jail. Don't do that. But you got to get out there, man, so people can know that you even exist. Right? You got to do it. You got to do it.
From the great words of our guy, Grant Cardone, if they don't know you, they don't flow you.
Yes.
If they don't know you, they don't flow you.
But see, nowadays, right, we have this thing that is a cheat. It's a cheat sheet. It's not really a cheat sheet, but we call it cheat sheet. It's social media. There's so many different platforms. I've Googled, how many, the top 10 or top 15 platforms for social media that's free, basically. All of them are free. You just add yourself to them, man, and start marketing in them. There's an app that you can use called Pinterest, where you can tag all these different social media accounts to this Pinterest account, and you can post one time and it goes to all these different social media accounts.
Oh, that's
cool. It's free.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. It's free. Why not use that?
It is free.
It's free.
And you said that was Pinterest?
Mm-hmm. Pinterest.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. I've used it. Mm-hmm.
And what was your experience, Mr. Jason?
Well, I'll tell you, because of the business that we're actually in, it doesn't generate much traffic the way that you would imagine. But mm-hmm. I use it for a different reason, because when you start going, which is from our other episode when we were talking about business credit and things like that, when you start going to banks, they want to know who you are too. So I'm not just marketing for individuals. I'm marketing to the financial institutions who are looking, because all data is information.
Right.
And when they search your business name and they see that you are real and you are out there, that's more opportunity for you to be able to grow on the banking industry, so that you can also then use that for your marketing for your clients.
That's true. So something just that simple. It is different if you're looking to maybe get you some search and stuff like that, man, which is definitely great marketing. There's a lot of different sites you can go on and pay a little bit of nothing to press up a few shirts or some bow ties or whatever you're trying to sell to get your stuff out there. Because when people see those logos or they see those names on there, they're going to know, what's that? And there's your opportunity to put yourself out there, and you never know where that may lead to.
Yep.
Yes, it's true.
And it's just as easy. Hey, you can go to Walmart right now. You got $5. Go to Walmart right now. You can go and make your own T-shirt. You got an iron at home. Well, I hope you do. You got an iron at home. You can make your own T-shirt right now.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. All right. Hey, man, that's a great one right there. I don't know. We're going to try to top that topic. All right, let's keep rolling. All right, so this is one of the things I had an issue with when I first started. When is the time to hire someone for your business?
Okay, you want to go first?
Yeah, I can. I feel when it's time for you to be able to hire someone else in your business, for me, is when my business has a steady income. Because, you know, nothing's worse than hiring somebody and then you have to, like, let them go because, you know, you can no longer afford to work with them. So I would definitely say having a steady income and a workload. Like, you have to have some items for that person to do. So I think before you would hire anybody, or when you know when it's time to hire somebody, is when you already kind of have a job description in the back of your mind for this person. You have the money to hire the person, and you know you have enough money for the computer they may need, or materials, or whatever it is that they may need to complete the job. And when you're actually ready to trust someone with your business or with the task that you're giving them, because a lot of times, even in my professional life, working in human resources, a lot of times when I would maybe move up to like a new position or get new job responsibilities, like sometimes my boss would just kind of hang on a little too long to, you know, when it's time for me to do the task, they want to oversee a whole bunch, don't really want to trust you all the way. Nothing's more frustrating, you know, as a worker when you're doing a job and the person doesn't trust you. So I kind of wanted to throw that one in there as well.
I'm a little bit different. I believe that it's time to hire as soon as you have the mindset that it's time to start delegating stuff out. And the reason why I say that, because there's always ways that you can actually pay an individual. And most of my company is built off of 1099 commission based. So, that was the hard part for me in the beginning. I didn't hire anybody because I didn't understand that I could hire someone and then they could earn the money that they earn. And each deal that we do, we split 50-50 with each one of my employees. So they're not on a salary, they're on a commission based deal. And I realized that I would rather make 50% off of multiple people than trying to do it all myself. Okay.
Man, that's deep.
And then you also have to understand that, yes, it's hard for an individual to delegate everything that they've been doing in their whole entire business. And it's time to hire when you are underwater and you feel like that you're doing too much and you can't really concentrate on your business, not in your business, but on your business.
On your business.
Because you want to be able to be in charge of the development and the processes. And you want to make sure that you feel comfortable with delegating those things out to individuals. That's where most fail. And I failed the same way too. Okay. Because as Kay was saying, that micromanaging part, you as an entrepreneur, again, if you can't trust the people that you're actually hiring, then there's no way for you to be successful anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. You have to be able to trust the individuals who you're hiring. I have people that work for me that are not in the same state. I have not even met these people face to face, but I would trust them with my accounts, with my credit card information in there because of the way I vetted them and I hired them.
Yeah.
So
slow about hiring, quick about firing.
I think Henry Ford said that.
I got it from Grant Cardone the other day. I think it was.
Yeah. Well, Grant Cardone's always looking to kill, man. That's what he say. I'm looking for somebody to kill. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's saying if one person is, you know, he's looking for the person that's holding the company back from growing. He's looking for that person who's holding the company back from growing. And that's when he strikes.
Wow, that's a tough. You got it. That's pretty rough. That's pretty rough. But I understand why he does that. You know, because Grant Cardone, he and his mindset is go, 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 go. Why are you holding me back? I got to cut you off, grow another arm, and keep moving. That's his mindset. Well, that's how he operates his business. I definitely understand.
Yep. Yeah, well, so am I. I fired my whole team last year. Everybody. I fired the whole team. Go away.
Yeah.
And as soon as I did that and recalibrated everything, now you can't stop us now. Mm. Okay, because there was more than one person that was holding us back from the 6 feet of gold, and now we're at it.
Wow. Wow, that's deep, man. It's different, you know, different entrepreneurs, CEOs, man, have their different mindset or philosophy on hiring. You know, it's interesting to hear you guys' stories in that, man. So my mind is I want to make sure I'm in this thing, man, for, of course, to try to build something that I can pass down to my grandkids, right? And I don't want to stress myself out while doing it. Just being honest with you, right? I want to do what I want to do in the business, but kind of delegate everything else out because I'm a creative, but working out the minor details, I need somebody to help me bring that picture into focus.
Yeah.
Right. So with me, I want to make sure before I bring somebody on that I have a little bit of reserves to be able to maintain their lifestyle because it's very serious, man. Because people put their life on the line, so to speak, right? Because their family is counting on them to be able to bring some food home, you know, pay the bills, things of that nature. I take it very seriously, man. You know, if I can't afford it, I'd rather not do it, right? But when I hire somebody, man, one of the reasons when I get ready to hire somebody is maybe this position that I'm in, the whole business is stagnating and I'm working too many hours and it's time for me to start hiring somebody to take over some of the responsibilities so I can make sure that my family is fed, not just, well, spiritually, and also they see me, right? So I want them seeing me and I'm just there like a lump of coal, right? I want to be able to give them their time as well. Yeah. And see, here's the great thing too, that I didn't realize when I first got started. I thought you got to do 40 hours a week. I didn't know that you could do 10 hours a week. Or 15 hours a week, right? I didn't know that. So I had to, when I first hired somebody years ago, I got 40 hours. So I was trying to rack my brains on what can I give them to do to fill these 40 hours? And it was stressing me out. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't really know what I wanted them to be doing for the whole 40 hours. And so I'm like, okay, I got to break this up. First of all, this big chunk of change coming out, it comes out of my bottom line, which is taken away from me and my family and things that nature. So how do I do this? So now the way I got it set up now to where I pay them a base pay plus commission, right? So it gives them this, you know, set up the guarantee to come home with a certain amount of money. But if we do a phenomenal job and then we hit these goals, you're going to get these bonuses every week.
Payday.
That's how I do it.
Yeah, that's good. That's really
that's
good.
That's how I do it. And it's working, man. I think it's working. And I'm growing every week. I'm going to say every week or every day. So I'm thinking different things. Okay, how can I make this sweeter for both of us in this situation? I want to make sure that you, when you walk away that day, that week, man, I made a honest week pay today. I feel good. I can take my kid out to eat some ice cream. You know, he's taking care of me. I'm taking care of him. And what I've learned is that on, you know, sometime on a day off, I might get an email. I might see you actually working on a day off because you're trying to hit these goals. Right. And now I'm trying to find a way to be able to give a bonus out now. Listen, I see you come in on a Sunday and you don't have to be here. You're trying to make everything, you know, set everything up. So when Monday rolls around, we ready to go. Okay, here's the bonus here. Great job. Really appreciate it. And we keep it moving. Right. So that's kind of how I do it. I know I'm kind of rambling a little bit, but this is a big deal for me, man. I'm going to tell you, this is a big deal. Yeah. You know,
that's cool. I still work 120 hours a week.
I don't know how you do it, bro. I don't know how you do it, man. It has to be a love thing to you, bro. But yeah, man, I still work.
Yeah. Well, it's the simple fact is that when you say you talk about, you know, making it good for your employees, that's where that other time is spent. How do I make these processes better for the people that work for me?
Exactly.
And then the other part is that I make sure that we're okay. So I'll give you an example. Right now we're in August. Every September and December, I'm probably going to work more than 120 a week. Okay. Because that's our planting season. We do our planning season between September and December to determine what we're going to move in and use for the next year. And we beta test that stuff. And then I get their honest opinion back for it.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So you kind of get everything set up for now so it can kind of run smooth through the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we already know. If we're gonna change systems, we're going to change systems not because I decided we were going to change systems. We're going to change systems the team decided to.
Gotcha. So it's basically what's easier for them or what, and get their feedback on situations. What do you think about this?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because, you know, my job now is to, I'm selling, right? I'm doing a lot of selling. Some of the prospecting and things of that nature, they take care of the other stuff on the back end or whatever the case is. So I have to make sure that I'm really focused on the selling because that's what brings in the revenue, you know? So I get it. But when I was working a 9-to-5, man, so if my boss would have told me, I'm going to give you a base pay, plus I'm going to give you commission on a weekly basis, I probably wouldn't even, I can't say this for 100%. It would have really been hard for me to leave my job. But because of them not even really thinking about us, you know, hey, you better be happy that you're working here. You know what I'm saying? And it was like, man, I got to get out of here. So I want to make sure I'm looking for a way to say, man, you know what? Great job.
Exactly.
Instead of looking for something, saying, hey, you messed up. And you be on people. You know what I'm saying? So I'm the opposite of that.
Right. Here's what 5% of your companies fail, Jay. 75% of your companies fail and have high turnover because they think that the company is the building. It's the employees that are actually inside of them. If we took all the employees out, you just have a bunch of desks, chairs, and walls.
Exactly, man. That's
you have
point.
No business.
You have no business. And that's why business is looked at with a bad look on it, man, because it's about numbers, 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 numbers. What about the people, though?
Yep.
Take care of the people. The people will take care of you.
No doubt.
Yes.
Now, if you're taking care of people and for some reason you got a bad apple in it, it's not really pulling their weight, now I really feel comfortable with saying, you know what, it's time for you to go. Let me get somebody in your place. But if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I'm uncomfortable with letting that person go because he didn't have a chance. The leader failed these people, rather than they failed, right? As a leader or as a business owner, the buck stops with me. If it's not functioning, I got to figure out a way to get this functioning. And if it's still not functioning, once I figure it out, now I got to look at whoever's in charge of this particular area and I need to get them out or what I need to do, right? So. Man, I tell you, man, this was a big one for me, man. Say it again.
I said, here's your papers, get to walking.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Hey, man, great conversations. All right, so the next, let's see if we can outdo that one, man. All right, so this was a tough one here, guys. I did some research on this, man, and so it can go 50-50. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Nepotism. Are you for or are you against it?
I'm against it.
Nepotism. All right. Okay. So, okay. Hold right there for a second. Okay. What about you, Ms. K?
Oh, I was just going to say, I am for nepotism. However, I wouldn't put my family members in any key management spots.
I'm for it and against it. I'm for it and against it. And I'm explaining to you guys why. So who want to tackle this first? Why do you say you're against it? Why?
So you're a straddler.
Yeah, so this is a tough one, man. This is tough, but I'm gonna explain to y'all why I say this, man. You know, but go ahead. Who want to jump on it first, man? Who want to explain why they say that?
Well, I'll do it this way. I'm gonna let Kay go first, okay? Because she's a little bit more for it, and then I'm in the middle of causing chaos, and then I'll let you go.
I love it.
Okay.
So. The reason for my answer is because I've been working in human resources for 12 years now in various positions. So, and I've been in companies where they're privately owned and they do have some family members in some key positions, or even sometimes there will be co-workers that marry each other. And I've been able to see it fall apart, and I've been able to see it actually help a company grow and to actually put more of the mom and pop family vibe into the corporation. So that's the reason why I am for it, but I don't believe that the relative should be in a management position, especially if they're under you, because I do feel that then favoritism does start to happen, and I believe that favoritism corrodes a company's culture. I really do. I believe it isolates people. I believe it's bullying when you favor certain people over other people. And I just think it's very negative. And like I said, I've been in HR 12 years in restaurants, transportation industry, and also in the government. And I've seen it all. And it just really depends on, you know, the family member that you've hired, what background they come from, how professional they are. Because I do believe that nepotism can work. It's just, you know, some things that you have to work on there. And a lot of people think that nepotism is illegal, which it's not. I've been told that a couple of times. The place that I am currently employed with, I'll hear, well, the manager is married to this person, and that's illegal, and you can't do that. But that's not true. You can definitely do that. You just have to make sure you're treating people fairly. And that's where I see where nepotism goes in a negative direction, is when people are not being treated fairly across the board. Chaos time.
Chaos time. Okay. So, Jason, you said you're not for it, right?
No, I'm against it.
Okay, cool. All right. Okay. Let's go.
And I have selfish reasons, okay? One of the biggest reasons that I'm actually against it is because most of the time, I'm not looking for them. They're looking for me. And being that they are looking for me as an entrepreneur, they're wanting to take part in the dream that you're building. I would rather help you create your dream so that you can get more people to work for you. Okay, I don't need you to work for me, which is one of the reasons in the other podcast that I explained. Yeah. Everyone that works for me, I don't want you working for me longer than 4 years. Mm-hmm. I am helping you build your business. And that family member, I want you to build your business. My wife is getting ready to start a business right now, okay? And she very well could have asked to work with me, but she knows that I'm not going to allow it, okay, without even asking. But I'm going to help her build her dream around that, because there's going to always be some sort of conversation that is, and when you said, you know, when you said it's not legal, I mean illegal, that people say it's illegal, well, of course it's not, okay? But when we talk about small businesses, which is really what we focus on, you start running into the issues. If you don't have certain departments, then those two married couples can't really work in the same department.
Yeah.
I would need them to work in separate departments. Mm-hmm. If they both did that, because, well, one cooking the books and the other one's covering it up.
Right.
Yeah. So that's where I look to try to avoid that. You know, even with friends, I treat my employees and I tell them, look, you know, yeah, you're family, but I still got a 12-yard stick. Okay. That keeps us separate. Okay. We still keep arm distance, but no, I would not hire anyone that way. I would rather you build your dream, not you rest on the laurels that I'm building.
Wow, man. Okay. Okay. So, okay. I would say, like I said, pro and con, right? For it or against it. Let's say, okay, years ago, I definitely was against it years ago. I worked for this furniture company back in the day. I had been there for some years, and I don't know what happened to the manager, but he was out of there. And so I'm the next person up, and the owners sister's husband, who didn't know anything about the business at all, they gave it to him. And I felt, man, it's like somebody ran over me with a car, man. You know, about 2 days in, he pulled me to the side. He said, man, Jay, I'm going to need you to show me everything needs to be done here, man, because you know I don't know anything. So this is my manager, quote unquote, that I have to train for him to make more money than me. Man, that was tough. That was a tough situation, man. So at that time, I could honestly say, man, nepotism, out of here with that, right? So now I look at it now, man, with me with my own business, right? So one of the reasons why I actually have this business is to be able to pass it on to my family, right? As an inheritance, right? So with my grandson right now, 10 years old, I'm trying to teach him the business right now so that one day if something happens to me, he can slide right into my place and he can continue on, and hopefully he can send it to his, he can leave it to his grandkids. So it's kind of up in the air for me, you know? But like Ms. K say too, one of the toughest things, man, to put a family member in a situation who don't know, or in a management position who don't know anything or very little about that position. Mm-hmm. And you got some people who's been with the company for a extended period of time, and that frustrates everybody. People they leave in and all kind of stuff, so you can destroy your business by doing nepotism, whatever the case is. But it's a tough one. I don't know how to answer it, man, to be honest with you. What do you do in this situation? But I know what I'm doing with my business, right? If I'm working for somebody, of course, I wouldn't want that. But for my business, I'm definitely trying to build this up for my grandkids. Absolutely.
Right, to create the legacy. Absolutely. So I have a question. What do you do when it's time to fire them?
Fire.
I would hope that, you know, within your business, you would already have like a progressive discipline or some type of employee discipline structure so that when it is time to let them go, you have them documented, you've talked to them, you've coached them just like any other employee.
Yeah. And you know what? You sound again, I'm an HR, like an HR professional, because you know that's I worked in HR too, right? I worked in HR too. You sound just like the HR professional. You sound just like we read, right? However, I don't care what that paperwork says or what reprimands or documentation that you've actually had. Yes, you might be within legal grounds to get rid of, but what happens to the bloodline?
And again, kind of goes back to what I said before. I wouldn't hire a family member that did not understand that this is a business and this is not personal. They have to be a professional person for me to work for them to work for me. And I would actually have that talk with them before I would even hire them. But again, I'm in HR. So that's just me personally. If you don't set the ground rules or you don't set the tone for the person's employment, then that's on you.
Yeah, that sounds great, Kay, and I love it. Been there, done that, wore the t-shirt. It didn't fit, so I had to get rid of it.
I respect that, but I'm just letting you know that's how I would do it.
I am a very professional
type person, so
I know you are, and they will respect you for that in the beginning. And the reason why I'm saying it this way is because I've been there and done it. They will respect you in the beginning. Everything is laid out in the beginning, but no matter what, you're still my cousin. You're still my nephew. You're still my niece. Mindset doesn't change. They'll agree to all of it in the beginning. They'll sign every document you put out.
I think it also kind of depends on you, because for me, if you're my cousin, you work for me, I terminate you, you don't want anything to do with me, then that's great. Bye, gone. I'm not overly emotional. My cousin, see you later, hon. So, hey. You know,
You know, yeah, I'm fine with not talking to you. You know,
yeah.
I don't have a problem. Okay, good riddance. Because you
it just makes the cookouts very uncomfortable. You know,
right?
So yeah. I definitely get it. Wow, yeah, that's a tough one.
But here's the thing. I don't want to do that. Although me and you don't have a good relationship, I don't want to destroy that for my children and the rest. You know, because I don't care. I don't have to talk to you. I don't want to be that in between that makes you not want to deal with the rest of your family.
Yeah. But I also feel that you can't let that also stop you from possibly giving somebody an opportunity to like better themselves, you know, because not everybody wants to own their own business. My husband, he actually works for his friends, and it works. So, you know, my husband, he does want to own his own business, but not what he's doing. I just feel like sometimes you have to give that person an opportunity or that space to grow. So
that's true. I believe.
I don't know. I'm trying to see the glass more full than empty. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, you know, if my cousin worked for me, she's terminated, she doesn't want to talk to me, she doesn't want to talk to my children's children's children, that's her loss. That's her loss, that's her maturity, that's her problem.
I got a question for you, Jason. So okay. Let's say you have a position, right? So you have your son, he's a great salesman, you know he can do the job, and you have a person who just put an application in, they're a great salesman, you know you can do the job. Who's getting that position?
The outside person.
Ooh, wow. Okay. So it's not a question. It wouldn't be a question. I have to get my son in that situation.
Well, right?
Especially if I know you guys both can do the job equally.
They can do the job equally, but again, here's the difference between what my son, on the other hand, will not be looking to work for sales for me.
Okay.
Because the ideology of you being in the driver's seat and being a business owner already be instilled in you.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm looking at it a little bit differently.
Okay. I would go so far to say all of the small businesses, right, that's out there would probably be pro when it comes to nepotism.
Well, they
now,
will.
The only thing I would say is where I would probably be kind of opposed to it. Probably if I'm building a business, right, that I want to sell down mm-hmm. the line, then I'd be like, no, I can't put this. Especially I would like to put somebody else in that position, in that situation. Or if I'm trying to take it to the market or whatever the case is, or open it up or whatever the case is, and I would rather do it that way. But yeah. If it's a small business like this, I would have to give it to a family member or my grandson or my daughter or whatever the case is.
Right. Well, that's true. That's true in a certain sense. If my son already worked for me, which he wouldn't be, if my son worked for me, no, I wouldn't hire outside over him.
I got you. Okay. Okay.
I wouldn't hire outside over him because he's already an employee.
Okay.
Because I do internal promotion versus hiring somebody from the outside. That's not going to, he wouldn't be working for me to start with.
Okay. But I tell you, that nepotism thing is, that's a big deal. That's a big deal, man. If you guys don't know what that is, definitely Google the word, right? go on YouTube and listen to the debates that's on it, man. It's something. It's something. Just, I didn't realize how big it was.
Yeah, just to throw one more thing out there too, and this hits on all business and family owned or mom and pop. The businesses that I've studied, the huge corporations that I've actually studied, they didn't get there by it being the mom and pop.
Gotcha.
You know, the founder or, you know, the founders can be different.
Man, powerful, man. I thought the first two was kind of powerful, man. I think this one kind of blew it off the page here, man.
what, hey, what else are we talking about? Oh, I don't know.
I forgot you, man.
But you can see, man, how, you know, you can see different views in it, man. I love the way how you, the takes that you guys have. You know, so it's like, man, I didn't think about it that way. So I'm leaning towards Kate. Then you say what you said, I'm leaning towards you, and then you throw it on me. I don't know what to say. I'm in the middle right here, man. So I'm still thinking about what y'all were just saying, you know? So that's a tough one, man. That's a tough one for me. So, but I experienced it, man. So,
yeah.
All right, guys. Man, hey, great. That's a great one right there. So I think this last one here is going to blow it all on my water, right? Y'all ready for this? If you had a chance to talk to the 21-year-old, your 21-year-old self, what would you say to that person? What would you say to yourself?
I can't say that I would say too much besides get it started. And I have to think about what I was doing when I was 21. And this kind of goes into my story, but I joined the Marine Corps when I was 16. And so when I was 21, I was already in the military. Now, I was also married at the time too, because I got married at 19. So, but if I was not in that situation and I was looking to do what I'm doing right now, what I would tell a 21-year-old self is that you need to start now. Dreams are nothing without action. Do not think that you have to know everything before you get started. Okay, the smartest person doesn't know everything, they just know where to find the answers.
Wow.
Get out there, something done today. And every day you do something different and you do something that's going to lead you towards whatever it is that you've been about so that that dream becomes a reality.
Wow.
That was great.
Man, I didn't say talk about what you say to me as a 21-year-old. I said to you.
Yeah, that's what I would, that's what myself, and that's what I would tell any 18-year-old now, okay? Because one of my mentees that I had this year, he was 18. And I told him the exact same thing. Next thing you know, he was closing a deal. He doesn't work for me anymore. He works for himself.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty cool. Miss Kay, You're talking to the 21-year-old yourself, right? You're talking to yourself at 21-year-old. What are you telling yourself?
I would definitely tell myself to dream bigger, be more ambitious, have larger goals, and don't let your situation or your environment to determine your life or where you're going. That's what I would pretty much tell myself. I grew up in Indianapolis, Indiana, after the whole, you know, after they moved all the car factories out of the Midwest. And, you know, for a lot of African-American families, that was a huge hit. Because at that time, people were making $20-$30 an hour to work, you know, at the car factories. So once all those jobs went away, it just, to me, Indianapolis has not been the same. So I saw that coming up, and it just kind of like shrunk my dreams. My mom was a secretary. I'll just be a secretary. You know, when I was younger, I never like dreamed bigger than that until I moved out west. And actually saw, you know, wealth. The first time I really seen real wealth was here out west. And that's what helped me to, you know, to dream bigger, to pursue my passion in tax and accounting. And that's what I would definitely tell myself, you know, your situation or whatever it is that you come from, it doesn't determine who you are. It doesn't determine who you will be. It's all up to you. So dream big, you know. At one point I wanted to be a pharmacist. I wanted to be the pharmacist that was down in the basement, putting the medicines together. But I just saw all the schooling. I let the schooling intimidate me. So I never went for it. So I just went to school for accounting in HR, just kind of stayed there. But now sometimes I think to myself, like, hey, what if you would have really trusted yourself and had that self-confidence to go to Midwestern University and go and be that pharmacist and help people? So, yeah, that's what I would definitely tell myself. Like, don't kill your dreams real fast just because life looks like it's not the way it should.
That was a too powerful. I don't know how to follow up with that, man. But I've always wanted to be in real estate. So I would tell myself, the thoughts that you are now thinking is real and it's possible. Mm-hmm. It's real and it's possible. Go get you some books and read every day or every chance you possibly get. That's what I would tell myself. Slow down. map out a plan and get to reading and get around people who think like you. Get around my uncle. He's in real estate. You learn at his table. And like I say, all the stuff that you're thinking about today is actually real and it is attainable. And just stay focused. Put your blinders on and go get it. That's what I would tell myself. Because this is what I always wanted to do. I always wanted to be a real estate. That's why I say it don't feel like it's work to me. You know, I always wanted to be in real estate. And I had dreams about real estate when I was a kid. Who can say that? You know? So I had dreams about real estate. So and I just didn't know what to strive for or how to go about getting it. Right? If I went to somebody pointed me to, you know, the bookstore and said, okay, about wholesaling or whatever it is, I'll be way further than I am to this day. So if you guys are out there and maybe you're 15, 16 years old and you know you want to get in real estate one day, go get you some books. You know, soak up that game for them people who have been doing it for 20, 30 years. And when you get to 17, 18 years old, you never know where you may be.
Right.
You know, I think that's what I would like to say, man, to the 21-year-old me. Slow down, because my mind is going 100 miles an hour, you know? Just slow down, go get you some books. and you staying out of trouble, you're going to stay out of trouble. You're going to avoid a lot of these pitfalls that a lot of your homeboys went through or whatever the case is. Continue on that path, but get you some books, set out, and read. Like most people don't want to read. Right, but that's where the knowledge is at in those books, right? So,
don't get stuck, listen. Though.
No, don't get stuck. You can get stuck. You can get now. That's true. Okay, let me add to it. Jason just broke me down. So, yeah, you want to read, but apply yourself, apply what you're learning, and let that be on a daily basis. So that way, if you start the day next year, this time, you're going to be way ahead. And, you know, you'll be able to maybe even begin to see your dream start, you know, coming true, if not before.
Yep.
Right? So put that in action, what you learn. So.
Yeah.
But I tell you, man, this was it right here, man. This was the episode right here, man. So what y'all think, man?
I'm in love with it, man.
Yeah, I feel like the theme of this show is like action, taking action and really, you know, following your dreams or pursuing your passion. I mean, Mr. Jason and Coach Jay, you guys dropped so many gems on this. So I'm hoping that people will go back and re-listen and really let those words soak in what we're sharing here. It was really good today.
But like Ms. K said, nepotism is not illegal. So wherever you fall at on that, you okay. According to Ms. K, I just don't know where to be at. That's my issue, man. Y'all, we all two attorneys, right? And I'm just right in the middle. I don't know which way to go. So, man, this was pretty cool.
Let me tack this on to both of the things that you mentioned is that. Here's one of the things that I wish somebody had told me too. Be careful of whom you listen to.
Ooh.
Be careful.
Right there.
Be careful to who you listen to, because there are people
again, they don't have your last name, but there are people who are waiting unconsciously or consciously to steal your dream.
Ooh.
And if you're not careful, they will make you miss the mark and not realize it. It's not because that you couldn't do it. It's because that they were putting their impressions on has nothing to do with you. So you make sure that you be careful to who you're listening, the advice and the information that you're actually getting, because all advice is not good advice. And then there are that will be waiting to destroy that dream that you're trying to build. You can't do that. Okay. Yeah. Or that's not, how do you suppose you're going to do that? You have no money. Just like when we talk about marketing in the beginning, okay, Jay gave you information about how you can get out there and get something done with $0. Now, I have been told that if you can't earn money without money, then you can't earn it with it.
Facts. Man, that is so true. So true. So sweat equity. Sweat.
And you understand.
Yeah. Yes, sure that's true.
That most of the information that is out there is not for you. Okay, it is meant for someone else out of his mouth based on what they couldn't do. Okay, we do volunteer work at the assisted living places and things like that. And here's the one thing that I hate coming from everybody that is actually in there. Okay, it is I shoulda.
Man.
And you need to stop shouldn't on you. I should go do this. I should be reading this book. I should person to see if I can offer them my services. I should be actually going to do something that increase my knowledge and increase my service to my clients today. Go get it done.
Done. Listen, if this episode don't motivate you, you ain't. I'm gonna use a word that's not right, but I'm gonna say it anyway. Motivatable. You know what I'm saying?
Motivatable.
Yeah. We're gonna make it a word, man. We're gonna make this a word, man. Hey, yeah. Man, this was a lot of gems in this. I'm gonna listen to this a couple of times because I know it's some stuff I missed. What you guys are talking about, man, it really opened my eyes to a lot of different things. It always do. So, man,
business, that's what it's for, Jay. That's what it's for, Jay. Into this podcast, you need to get on here with the mindset and have an open mind to receive.
Yeah, absolutely.
And speaking of motivation, Coach Jay, I thought I saw that you had an advertisement on Facebook for a morning call for small business entrepreneurs.
Yes, we're really going to kick that off this Monday. We are behind the week. Yeah, so this Monday, I don't have my calculator in front of me. So this Monday, if you listen to this Monday, well, when you listen to this, just go ahead and log in. We're going to send you guys the links to us. So everybody, if you go to MCA back office, we're going to have a early morning motivation for business owners, right? So you'll be able to log right in. Hear a particular topic about business, and the whole design is to help you to get your day focused and ready to go. So all you have to go to MCA back office, DM me, and I will send you the link, and come on board, man, ready to learn, and hopefully, you know, show us and teach us some different things as well. So look forward to talking to you guys. All right. Awesome. Any final thoughts, guys?
I'll leave you with a quote based on your reading. Education is your passport to the future for tomorrow. It belongs to the people who prepare for it today. And I'll say that one more time, that education is your passport to the future for tomorrow belongs to the people who prepare for it today. That's by my man Malcolm X.
Man, boom. Yeah. What about you? What about you, Ms. K?
I don't have a quote, but I just want to say I thought this was a really, really good conversation. I think that no matter where you are in your business, I think or business phase, you'll be able to use the gems that Coach Jay and Mr. Jason have given. I don't know. I just think this is a really good thing.
Yeah. Absolutely. So my thing is, if you're listening to this, you already have the business mind already. If you're listening to this, you already have a business mind. Now just apply what you're learning.
Yes.
And let's see what happens. My motto is take the shot, guys. Don't sit on the bench and never take a shot or get on the court or do anything. Take the shot. And let's see what happens. All right? Hey, I'm Coach Jay, and we got entrepreneur Miss K and entrepreneur also Mr. Jason. Hey, we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for tuning in. Please follow us on Acorn and Spotify and on Facebook, Small Business Stand Up. See you on the next episode. MCA Back Office aims to help real estate wholesalers who have their 9-to-5 jobs, those who are busy with their businesses or family responsibilities, and even help students. MCA Back Office gives you leads, research comps, calculate offers for you. Basically, MCA be your back office. You can find them on Facebook. Just search MCA Back Office.